Well, Ken, tell me a little bit about what made you decide to enter the race for governor.
I came from rural Kansas. I'm a CPA. I have a financial background, a career in business. We were elected in a crowded primary in the Republican primary in 2014 for the insurance commissioner's office, won big in the general election. We came in and thoughtfully and calmly provided some good basic business principles to a government setting in the insurance department. We reduced costs, increased productivity quickly, and people saw that and wanted to do the same thing for the broader state government. We want these tools. People want the tools I have now to run Kansas more efficiently, with a lot more productivity out of it. Want growth in the state of Kansas. We've had a flat economy here in 2017. We were actually the fourth worst performing economy in the United States with a slight decline. And this is 2017. Our costs are going up at the state government. People want somebody who can bring some sense to the financial chaos we've had going on in Kansas. I have the right tools at the right time for Kansas. That's why we're running for governor.
And tell me a little bit about your choice of Jen to join your ticket here.
We are so thrilled to have Jen on the ticket. She and I know each other through Leadership Kansas. She is the immediate past chairwoman of Leadership Kansas, of the Board of Trustees for Leadership Kansas. She has a business background, a whole host of other things that are exactly what we're looking for as we move Kansas forward, make Kansas grow, lean in on costs. She occupies a different geography in the state than I do.
Yeah.
I grew up in rural central Kansas. Have lived in the metro area most of my adult life as a professional. She brings the perspective of western Kansas. Jen?
Comments? And Jen, talk to me a little bit about kind of what attracted you to, I mean, it's a big undertaking to join a gubernatorial ticket. What made you decide this was the right investment of your time?
Right. I like Ken's ideas. The more we talked back and forth, they make absolute sense. Let's get the waste out of government so we can afford the infrastructure and the programs that Kansas needs to look forward to in the future. I want every Kansas child to thrive and look forward to a great future in Kansas. And why can't we set it up right and let it just take off?
Yeah, yeah. So here are the two big policy questions that I'm asking all the tickets here. The tax plan that went into effect in 2012 under Governor Brownback's signature largely rolled back last session or two sessions ago. And there's been sort of an almost immediate, you know, debate about whether that rollback went too far, not far enough, where it should go. What's your view about this current state of Kansas tax policy? Where do you think it should go from here?
Well, we don't need any more taxes. We need to lean in on costs so the need for more taxes is removed and so we can actually marginally reduce taxes again. The tax cut in 2012 was way too much if you didn't cut expenses. A lot of people, including myself, fully expected the governor to advocate for expense cuts that would at least cut by half the revenue cut. We reduced revenues by $800 million. We didn't reduce expenses. We tried to strangle government in some odd ways. It didn't work. That's pretty obvious that it wasn't going to work. What needed to happen was some leadership from the governor's office on reducing expenses. So going forward, a couple of things should not happen. One, we should not have to pay additional taxes. You and I as Kansas shouldn't have to pay additional taxes simply because the federal tax code gets changed. That's happening.
Yeah.
I was in favor of the rollback of those taxes.
Yeah.
We do not need, and we will always, always fight against new property taxes from the state. That should not be the case. There are some people who are advocating for it. We're going to argue against it. We will always argue against that. We don't need it if we're leaning in on costs, just like we've done in the insurance department, where we reduce costs over a period of time. That takes a while. You can't do that overnight. You need to lean in on costs every day, every hour of every day, and we need to focus on making Kansas grow, because our tax Our taxes are based on the Kansas economy. And if the economy in Kansas isn't growing, just like it did not grow in 2017, Kansas revenues won't grow unless you add more taxes. And we're going to refuse to do that. In fact, we're going to argue for a marginal decrease and absolutely no new property taxes.
So, you know, there have been several studies of efficiency in Kansas government. Where do you see, the buckets of cost reduction? What services is the state providing now that it should be providing more efficiently or less cost?
Well, that's the misnomer that a lot of people think, that it needs to be buckets. But we can operate more efficiently across the board, just like we did in the insurance department. We took a year and a half to reduce our workforce by about 20%, and the cost dropped sharply along with that. But we refused to replace people automatically just because somebody left the insurance department or retired or went to the private sector. We were always thoughtful about how we could rearrange that job so we didn't need to hire a new person.
Yeah.
And focus on the part of the job that we did need and parse that out to other jobs. It worked really well. Kansas Insurance Department was ranked the second highest ranking in the country, mm-hmm, 6 months after we had managed our way innovatively to a lower cost level. That can be done across the broader state government. That's why we're running for office, for the governor's office, because other people saw how we managed that and wondered why we can't do that in the broader state government. There's issues and employees all over state government. If we take a manager's viewpoint instead of a political viewpoint towards running Kansas, the picture will be and can be, and we will make it be, a lot different than it is now.
So that sounds like sort of the structure of Kansas government departments. Let's take a really hard look at who's assigned to what task and what's our headcount really need to be.
That's exactly right. And can we do the jobs that are required statutorily to be done? Can we do them differently? Just like we applied some innovative ways to interact with people out of the insurance department, mm-hmm, we can do that in the rest of state government. We can be thoughtful about how we arrange our jobs and organize our jobs. That's managing state government. We haven't done that for the last 8 years, and we certainly haven't done it for the last couple of years. A good example is CanCare. CanCare is an ideology that was implemented that was not managed.
Yeah.
We walked away. The governor's office walked away from the management, yeah, of CanCare. They thought that since we turned it over to private contractors, that it would take care of itself. It never is that way. Any businessman knows that. We don't need an attorney in the office right now. We don't need a physician in the office right now. We need a business person in the office right now. I'm a CPA. I had a successful business career. I've had an incredibly successful short 4 years in the insurance department. We can take those same basic business practices and apply them to the broader state government, just like we did in the insurance department. Jen has exactly the same kind of background. It's a business background, rural economic development. She knows how to lean in on costs every day. That's what we're going to do and make Kansas grow at the same time. They can go in the same way. Lean in on costs and make Kansas grow. That will be good for Kansans up and down the board.
Gotcha. All right. The other big policy question around these parts is K-12 education funding. Mm-hmm. So everybody's still waiting around to see what the Supreme Court rules in terms of the latest finance decision. And this is some speculation here, but let's say that they say you need to get to that $600 million mark, and we're at $500 million right now. Would you be in favor of investment in K-12 above what has been approved and signed into law by the legislature and Governor Collier? What's your basic stance on the K-12 education finance situation at this point?
If I could take the education spectrum and then carve up that,
yep,
and then
absolutely.
I like Jen to address tech colleges, community colleges, universities. She's got a lot of experience in the tech college space. So very briefly, we need more focus in how we spend money and the results we're getting all the way through K through 12 and before that. We have more and more kids coming to school not being reading ready. That means we need to look at our early childhood education dollars. Are we spending them in the optimum way? Are we getting the most value out of that? We know that more and more kids are coming not reading ready, and that is the measure that we, one of the key measures we need to focus on our early childhood education dollars.
Yep.
We really need to focus on that. K through 12, all kinds of fences around K through 12, federal mandates, state mandates, it's hard to manage that. And then we have the Constitution that has the word undefined word suitability in it. We need more definition there. I would advocate and favor a constitutional amendment that provides more definition to the word suitability. We need a governor who stands up and advocates for that. We need a governor who stands up and advocates for more accountability in K through 12. That's a huge part of the spend of our state general fund, a huge part of it. And we need more accountability in that. We need more accountability for outcomes out of K-12.
Yep.
More aligned with the jobs that are needed in the local communities. We have some school superintendents who understand that their school districts are the economic driver in their local communities. They are out looking for what are the jobs that are in our community that we can train our high school students for with tech certificates or tech degrees. And they're adapting to the local community. That will help slow the out-migration out of rural Kansas. It will help slow the out-migration from the urban areas in Kansas. We've got a real issue around all of that. A lot of education, K through 12 education issues that we need to address, even with those federal and state fences that go around. And we need, most of all, maybe to define the word suitability so that we can get out of this litigation cycle that we're in. 23 years in it, likely to be more litigation. We're going to comply with the law, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And we're going to advocate for change in the Constitution so that this doesn't go forward. And that's good for Johnson County. That's good for every other county in the state. It can be good for everybody. More clarity so that we don't wastefully spend money in this litigation going on for the next 23 years, just like we have for the past 23 years.
Gotcha.
I'd like Jennifer to address a little bit.
So we're big advocates of public-private partnerships. Those things work so well in communities and actually areas around colleges and technical schools. You know, you've got industry that will put in dollars for equipment and training and these and pay scholarships so that you can train, get their next
workers.
Yeah. and not just even just workers, the people that want careers, long-term careers. It's matching the input with the output. These big companies care enough, and why shouldn't that be a keystone to Kansas?
Yeah.
There's some other really good examples of that. In the insurance department, we formed public-private partnerships to get more insurance education within the Regents Universities in the state of Kansas. We now have 5 universities participating in it. We went from 55 students taking insurance-related courses at the college level in Kansas. We're up to 360 now because of this program that we started that brought in corporate investment, no cost to the state of Kansas, provided scholarships, provided course development, provided teachers for insurance education. It's worked out wonderfully to help provide staff people, employees, for insurance companies here in the state of Kansas.
Got it. All right, I know you guys are running out of time. What else do people need to know about you? This is the open-ended thing.
This is the open-ended thing. We believe in every Kansan's potential. Every Kansan has a potential, and we want to see everybody tap their potential.
Yes. We're rock solid on the Second Amendment. We're rock solid on pro-life issues. We are focused on making Kansas grow and leaning in on costs. That means better managing the state. We have had a disastrous management of the state over the last several years, including under the current governor. All the developing issues going on with Medicaid. You've seen those in the news over recent weeks. That has to stop. All the difficult issues in DCF in KDADS, many social issues here, many social departments. We need to manage those better. It takes more than an ideology. It means managing the ideology and getting outcomes for the incredible expense that Kansas has in providing these safety nets. We need to be more efficient and productive all the way through.
Yep.
We're going to do that. That means corrections. That means KDOT. That means Medicaid. That means education. It means other factors in government. So we're going to make it happen. I'll leave you with this thought. Remember, my name is Ken Seltzer and Jen Sanderson. Remember, KS for KS, Ken Seltzer for Kansas, when you go to the ballot box on August 17th. Remember, KS for KS, or Ken and Jen, either one works. We look forward to everybody's support on August 7th.
Excellent. All right, can I grab a photo real quick?
Yeah.